Turn over in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We'll start right there. Now, we've been teaching on faith on Wednesday nights for several weeks, and I'm going to get into some details. How many of you remember the points that we shared last week? How many of you remember? 5 points. Well, I'm going to remind you tonight, amen? But let's read this scripture to kick it off, amen? Chapter 5 and 1 John, look at verse 4. So whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. If you're having an overcoming problem, I'm going to show you how to solve that tonight by faith. We're going to dive in detail, so get pencil and paper and take notes and then study this out this week. You know, you might say, well, I've heard faith preached, you know, for 20 years. Well, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is new every day. Isn't that right? And there's some things tonight that I can share with you by the help of the Holy Spirit that'll change your life forever. Because we all need the Word. Amen. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Or that even, if you look in your King James there, that's italicized, isn't it? Isn't that italicized in your Bible? Well, it is in mine too. That means that was added in by the King James translator. So that wasn't in the original Greek. So we can read that, our faith. We overcome the world, how? By our faith. Amen, isn't that right? And now we know Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says that we've been given the measure of faith. And you know what? I got faith for things. Amen. And you do too. Well, the more we find out about God, and the more we find out about us and how we and God fit together, then our faith can begin to rise, amen, to accomplish what He wants in our lives. So write this down. The first point that we were teaching the last week or so, knowing your assignment brings hope. Knowing your assignment brings hope. And we talked about understanding vision, understanding your destiny. Now let me just put it in these terms for you. And if this is real simple for you, that's fine. There's a lot of people this is real deep for. Say deep, amen. I mean, this could be real deep for some people that just got born again, amen. But for you, it may be real simple. And nothing is too complicated for me, amen. Amen. Me and the Holy Spirit, isn't that right? And nothing's too simple because God has a fresh way of sharing the Word of God. Now, when we say here, knowing your assignment brings hope, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. Isn't that right? Faith is substance of things hoped for. In other words, your faith is a spiritual force. It's a power on the inside of you. When you go over to Romans chapter 12 and you begin to look at that and you see that you've been given the measure of faith, that ought to tell you that God has not created a failure yet. Amen? Everybody here has been created by God to succeed. Amen? As a matter of fact, God put a lot of work in developing the planet and everything in the planet so it works for your behalf, on your behalf. Amen? And then He gave us the measure of faith, the power that causes everything in the planet to work for us. Are you following me? Everything around us right now is here for our benefit. It's not here for the devil's benefit or his crowd or all the demonic spirits that are out here. Everything is here for our benefit. Amen? Are you with me? All we have to do is tap into it by faith. We have to learn that, hey, everything created was created for us. Now, we're going to be starting to teach on Sunday about our thought life and how important our thought life is because we got to get our thoughts in the right order, in order for faith to work. Isn't that right? We got to get our mind on God. And we're teaching that the blessing, heaven's anointing, will cause you to do what? Think like God. When you think like God, then your vision or your hope is always set and the faith is always activated in your life to accomplish the life that He has planned for you. Amen? So faith is substance. Everybody say substance. See, faith is substance of things hoped for. So, if you don't have any hope, faith won't work in your life. Amen? Hope is vision, and that activates your faith. Now, go to Hebrews, and let's read it out of there. Amen? Go over in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll start there in verse 1. I want to just kind of go through the first three verses there and give you some insight. We're going to take our time. We're not in any hurry. Amen. I'll get you out of here before midnight. Hallelujah. Look what it says. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, just because you haven't seen what God has said about you does not mean that it does not exist. It does exist. As a matter of fact, as a born-again believer, you should understand that the unseen world is more real than the seen world. Now, let me say that one more time. The unseen world is more real than the seen world. Why is that? The seen world, what we currently are experiencing, is subject to change. Amen? It's subject to change how? When we overcome it by faith. Faith changes the world. Everything you see around you was created out of something that you can't see. When you understand that principle, then you can be the prophet of your own life. You can fulfill your destiny. Amen? What do you need in life? You need a new car. You need a house. You need your kids to go to college. Faith is the power on the inside of you to bring that in, the things that are not seen, into the seen world. Now let's read that one more time. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You just might as well say, not seen yet. Now hold your finger right there and go over to Romans chapter 4. Go to Romans chapter 4. It's in the New Testament, a few pages there to your left. Go to Romans chapter 4. Let me give you some more scripture here to kind of help you along with this. Now, I remember when I first started studying faith, I didn't get it the first time. Amen? It took me listening over and over. And if you don't get it tonight, get the CD. Get the CD of tonight's service. Put a request in, or however you can get a hold of that. Get a copy of the DVD, however. And begin to study out faith, because it's the key to life. If faith is dead, your vision or your hope is dead. Amen. Now look at what this says. Look at Abraham here. And look at verse 17 of chapter 4 in Romans. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Well, now, let's analyze this for a minute. We all know when God spoke to Abraham and told him, you're going to be the father of many nations. At that time that he spoke to Abraham, was he the father of many nations? No, of course he wasn't. He was teaching him how to live by faith. Isn't Abraham the father of our faith? Isn't that right? Isn't Abraham the one that we call the father of our faith? Isn't he the one that believed God? Doesn't the Bible says he was the friend of God? Isn't that right? Why? Because he believed God. He believed what he said. Isn't he now the father of many nations? Isn't that right? Isn't his seed as many as the stars in the sky? Now see, at the time when the Lord spoke that to him, it wasn't. He probably looked around. Actually, can you imagine Lot, his one of his family members, when God said that and then he came back to the camp? Can you imagine? Man, God told me I'm the father of many nations. And everybody looked at him and said, oh, is that right? Father of many nations. That's kind of like you going to work tomorrow and saying, hey, guess what? I just got a brand new house. And I'm going, really? Well, you've been living in that apartment for 2 or 3 years now. What house? Well, God gave me a house. I got it on the inside of me. And all I've got to do is believe through faith that those things which I speak, amen, are going to come to pass. Amen. Are you following me? That's what Abraham did. See, he came. Can you imagine him sitting around the fire and Abraham said, man, you know, he's just kind of gazing in the love of God after getting this revelation. And he just kind of said, hey, man, I'm the father of many nations. And all his servants sitting around going, you ain't the father of nothing. You and Sarah are 75 and you're way past childbearing age. Come on. Isn't that right? I mean, can you imagine? And they think this guy has truly lost his... I mean, I thought he lost his marbles when he told us to leave our hometown. And then I thought he lost his marbles when he said, let's go over here and let's pinch our tit here. Now he's saying he's the father of many nations. Well, see, he saw something that the rest of them didn't see. What did he see? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. He saw a vision. He saw the destiny for his life. You see how important that is? You don't see anything, no destiny, no power. You become lethargic. You become lazy. You don't want to get up in the morning. I mean, we've all experienced this. There ain't no one on the planet that hadn't experienced this kind of stuff. You know, maybe you get in depression, or maybe, you know, you're impatient. You know, you hear something good and you think, oh, that's not going to happen to me, because the ego system you grew up in and those thoughts keep coming back and forth and, I mean, entering in, and that faith just can't work for you. You've got to get your thought life right and understand that faith is the key to bringing this to pass. Amen? Praise God. Let's go over and look at this scripture here in verse 17. He says, as it is written, I've made you the father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, God, who what? Quickens the dead. Have you ever been dead? Maybe your life's been dead for a few months. Maybe your marriage has been dead. Maybe your business has been dead. Amen. You control your own destiny. How do you do that? Well, look at what it says there. You call those things which are not as though they were. Now, most people don't understand this. Why? Because they live in the now. They live in this world and they see only what, or they believe only what they see. Isn't that right? A few weeks ago we taught on revelation knowledge, and then we taught on sense-led knowledge. Sense-led knowledge is the knowledge that we gain by our five physical senses, one of those being our eyes. So we only believe what we see. Amen? But no, God speaks those things which are not as though they were. And when you have that faith, the earth was designed to bring everything to you that you need to fulfill your destiny. Amen? You follow me? To fulfill our destiny, we got to build that campus right there. And God's going to bring it. Amen? He's going to bring every stick, brick, and mortar, every blade of grass, every sporting event that's needed, every piece of equipment. He's going to bring it. Why? Because he said he would, and he's not a liar. And all I got to do is tell you what he said. Amen? And all you got to do is remind yourself of what he said. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. Look at verse 22. Matthew 14, look at verse 22. This is good. Now, we shared this a little bit before. I love these scriptures. And I meditate. See, when you meditate, that means you go over and over and over the Word. And you know, let me just tell you, I was teaching Sunday school in a church, and I wasn't even born again. I'm being honest with you. But I got born again. You can only be born again or have revelation of something through the Word. You can't get it any other way. Somebody could hand you a note and say, get born again, but until it's on the inside of you and you heard God say that and you realize God loves you and he wants you out of the situation you're out of, it's not until you get that revealed word that it's going to come to pass in your life. I taught for 6 months out of the book of Romans, and then finally one day, bam, just like that, I realized on the way to church, man, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Then during the church service, the anointing showed up and I went down there and repented. See, all this nasty stuff in my life was holding me back. I saw, hey, old things are passed away. Amen. Old things are passed away. I don't have to carry this baggage. I went down front, gave my life to Christ, you know, squalled and bawled for 2 or 3 hours. Come on. Had to get it off of me. Amen. Service was over. I was still. See, we had these little benches called mourner's benches. That was the last time I got to a mourner's bench because I didn't mourn anymore. I was happy. I got born again. Changed my life forever. Then I started studying about faith, realizing it's the power. Well, you got to have that vision in front of you. Knowing your assignment brings hope, and hope activates the faith. Right here, Peter saw Jesus walking on the water. He physically saw Jesus walking on the water. But if you study the scripture out, Jesus was on the mountaintop praying. What was he doing? He was speaking those things which are not as though they were. He wasn't speaking, I'm going to go out there and deliver these disciples from this storm. That wasn't what he said. If you read the scriptures, he said, you go ahead. I'm going to go up here on the mountain. I'm going to pray a little while. He was up there praying, Lord, I'm fixing to, the Lord was sharing with him, you're going to walk on water. That's exactly what the Father was telling Jesus. You're going to walk on water. Jesus did what? Believed it and then said it. And what did he do? He began to walk on water, and the storm hit his disciples in the middle of the sea here. He just starts walking by. Now, how did they react? Like most Christians react when you start talking like I am. They got in fear. They looked and said, it's a ghost. Look at that. Look at that. He's a ghost. Man, they all started getting in fear. Why? Jesus was doing something they had never seen or heard before. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen yet. So just because you hadn't seen it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. They never saw a man walk on water. Jesus proved to them a man can walk on water. You can too. If Peter walked on water, you can too. Now, I don't know how he changed the structure of the water, H2O, to where he could walk on it, but he spoke to it. It became solid enough, or he changed the molecules in his body to where he became weightless, amen, and began to walk on water. Well, what happened? Everybody freaked out. They saw him. They thought he was a ghost. But Peter, fastening his eyes on him, said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Peter had enough sense, enough, you know, think the elevator went all the way to the top to recognize what, I mean, he wasn't in fear. He had enough things going. Now, Peter generally was kind of like pastor sometimes, insert foot and mouth. He was good at that. Amen. But at that particular time, it was going all the way upstairs, and he had enough faculties to say, Jesus, bid me to come if it's really you. What did the Lord say? He said, come, didn't he? That's what he's saying to you in your faith walk, in your faith life tonight. Come. Come on and see. Come on and see. Now, how did Peter get up out of the boat and step out on the water? Now, okay, what do you mean, Pastor? Where are you going with this? What are you believing for? What are you believing for at home? What are y'all believing for? Do you need a new home? Do you need a college education for your children? Come on. All things were given to us to enjoy. As a matter of fact, if sin had not come on the planet, it'd just be one big party, because Jesus would have never had a serious thought. I'm telling you. He's a good God. He wants to have fun, and he wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to enjoy your children. He wants you to be able to provide for your family and provide everything necessary. And everything is here in the planet. The only thing that separates us and what is necessary for our destiny to come to pass is information and believing through faith what God says. Peter, for that specific point in time, saw Jesus. He had the vision of a man walking on the water, and it struck to his very core. Enough to where the faith, because his eyes were focused on God, his eyes weren't focused on the waves at this time, his eyes weren't focused on the rain, his eyes weren't focused on the wind. And folks, let me tell you, there's always going to be waves beating against you. The wind is always going to be blowing contrary against you. Your boat is always going to be rocking. That's what Jesus said. You can check it out in John 16:33. He said, tribulation's in the world, and it's always going to be here. But thank God, faith overcomes. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Are you following me? So what did Peter do? He looked at him and said, hey, if it's you, bid me to come. Jesus gave him the only answer he could possibly give him. What is that? Come. Now, folks, that's what he's saying to you tonight. Think tonight. What is it that you're desiring in your life? God is saying to you tonight, well, come. It's available. Come. What did Peter do? As soon as he said, come, he did what? He was on the bow of the boat, okay? What did he do? He's on the bow of the boat. He's looking at Jesus. All of a sudden, his eyes are focused on the vision. You following me? His eyes ain't focused on the wave. Now, just picture yourself and picture Peter. He's totally looking in the face of Jesus. And he sees that's a man a flesh and bone man. That's not a ghost. See, the others thought he was a ghost. That's not a ghost. That's a man. And he's walking on the water. And if he could walk on the water and he said, I could walk on the water, I'm going to do it. And he stepped right out of that boat and began to walk on the water towards Jesus, didn't he? Come on. Now, it wasn't until Peter began to look at the circumstances, the sensory level of his life, to look at the waves and the wind, that he began to sink. But when his eyes were focused on the prize, let me tell you something. You are going to receive in your life what you are focused on. Because God's already given you the power on the inside of you. If you focus on the fact that you can't, you won't, and you never will, guess what? Write it down, honey. You can't, you won't, and you never will. But if you will just, your part is not the faith part. The Bible says, go to Ezekiel, and let's close right there. Go over to Ezekiel. Look at verse 25 in the Old Testament. See, the Old Testament saints were crying out for this. Go to Ezekiel. Go to chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. And look at verse 25. Now look at this. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness. Now you just might as well say you can have, God will take care of the dirty mind that you got that's been inundated by the world, and He'll give you the mind of Christ. And you'll begin to think just like Jesus. And look at what it says here. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh. Look at verse 27. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk out my statutes. See, you don't have to do anything but let Him do the works. The works have been completed from the foundation of the world. Everything that's necessary that you need in your life is available and ready for you right now. You just got to get the mind of Christ and focus on the vision. What do you want? Don't tell, all right, here's a good, someone came to me and said, man, I need to build a new building. Really? Where's your plans? Oh, I don't have any plans. Really? They called me 2 months later. I need to build a new building. Really? Where's your plans? Well, I don't have any plans. Duh. Ding, ding, ding. No wonder. You're never going to build the building until you get the plans. Isn't that right? I mean, if you can't start with a set of plans, you ain't never going to have the building. If you, let me tell you how I bought a bass boat. Now close. 1997. Man, I was fishing. I was a fishing guy. I was kind of a maniac in fishing. I loved it. And I needed a new boat. I'd bought one boat, and it just wasn't fast enough. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, because every time we'd take off in the lake, everybody in those big old boats and those big old motors, they just run past me. And I thought, hey, I'm a better fisherman than that guy, but he's faster than I am, so he's getting to the fish. He's getting to the best spot first. I can't stand it. This won't last. Is this a guy talking or what? Come on. So what I do? I began to get another boat. Well, I bought another boat, and guess what? It wasn't fast enough either. Come on. So finally, I said, I've got to get this kind of boat. Well, how did I do it? I went down to the boat dealer and first got a brochure. Listen to me now. Got a brochure. Honey, if you want a new house and you ain't got a picture yet, you're lost. You're a goose in a snowstorm. You're lost. I got the brochure, and then I flipped over and I picked out the color next. And I got that brochure, and they actually printed it out in my color. And I stuck a piece of paper in the brochure, and I was on my way. I went home. Then at work, the next morning, I'd come in and I'd lay the brochure out on my desk. And then I'd go over to my computer and I'd do a little work and I'd look over at the brochure and I'd get tickled. Whoo, that looks good. Hallelujah. And I'd just draw a little bit more and I'd do that. Look at that. Whoo, that looking good. And then I'd get so excited, I'd get it up and I'd go run to other people and say, hey, what do you think about that? That's my boat right there. And they look at you, that guy's crazy. Stay away from him. I mean, he's crazy. They did. They thought I was totally Looney Tunes. They probably still do. I hope they get the CD here because they're going to figure out where I went with it. And I'd get that, and then I'd go home, and I'd eat dinner. And guess what I'd do? I'd lay that brochure right beside my plate. I'd eat a little bit and look at it. Woo-hoo! That's looking good. I'd eat a little bit more. I'd look over there, and then I'd flip through and look at the tires on it. Now I look at the motor. Now I look up all the specs on the motor. And I kept feeding that and feeding that on the inside of me. Then before I'd go to bed at night, and I kid you not, before I go to bed at night, that brochure would be on my nightstand. I'd lay there in bed at night and look at that brochure. Woo, doggy, look at that. Isn't that great? And everybody I saw, I carried that thing around with me. I'd roll it up just like this, and I'd stick it in my front pocket, just like that. And I'd run around, and I had like a magazine hanging out of my pocket. Every time I walk into work, and then I'd see somebody, and they'd say, how are you doing? Boy, I'm doing great. Look at this. What do you think about this? What was I doing? I was watering the vision that was on the inside of me. Guess what? 6 months later, I went down to Porter Everts and bought that boat. That exact boat. God made it happen. I didn't go out and work an extra job. I didn't go searching down, chasing down the blessing. I got the blessing on the inside of me, and God created the planet in order to bring everything necessary to meet my needs. Isn't that right? Amen. That's how it's going to happen in your life. But you've got to start. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is God's part. You understand? What's hoped for is your part. No hope, no vision, no power. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for impartation. I thank you, Lord, that all the needs in the house tonight will be met according to your riches and glory.